If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome back all to Wednesday at Dobbs. I've done it again. Apologies. This time I have good reason for being a day late. I've spent the past 2 days at the launch of two brand new BSAs. Feels like this is monumental. I knew the BSA Scramble was coming. I had no idea the BSA Bantam was also arriving. So we had the launch party in a hotel in London, 24th floor, overlooking the London skyline. We then had 45 press bikes of these Scramblers and the Bantams. And we headed out from the bike shed in London over to the Surrey Hills, rode the Bantam out to the Surrey Hills, rode the Scrambler back. Review of the Bantam coming out tomorrow on my main channel. And this could change the biking scene. I really feel this strongly about BSA's new offerings. So all will become clear on my other channel, but I'm over the moon for where things are going for BSA. Enough about that. Let's get back to the podcast. Thank you so much, everyone, for continuing to get in touch, sharing your thoughts and opinions. Best place to do so, comments section below. And if you have a longer story, maybe some pictures, you can email hi@tuesdayatdobbs.com. Start off with an incredibly rare bike here. This is from Tim. Freddie, I took an early summer holiday when I took my oldest son to the TT on the Isle of Man. My father took me here all the way back in 1973, so it's a deja vu trip. Totally fantastic. Anyway, my Kajiva Grand Canyon. That was my reaction. Grand Canyon Kajiva. It's the model after the Elephant, made from 1999 to 2001, mainly for the US market. Visually, it's a lot less off-road than the Elephant, and in my eyes, very much the forerunner to the first Ducati Multistrada. It's got a monster M900 motor that's been slightly detuned for more torque. Tim, thank you for sending over the picture of this. I have never in my life come across a Kajiva Grand Canyon. Let's take a look at this. So 1999 to 2001, 70 horsepower, 193 kilos, 900cc Ducati engine. MCN say this about the Grand Canyon. Kajiva's Grand Canyon is a great motorcycle to ride. Nimble handling, lazy, easy to love power, and plenty of tuning potential. Why do we not know about this then? This sounds fantastic. But wait, classic Italian motorcycle experience, which is so often the case. Take a listen to the second part. Sadly, though, it's let down by crummy component quality and ridiculous servicing costs. It shines around town or on A roads, but it's a less than assured performer on longer, faster routes. Okay, if you like the idea of something niche and left field, but you're thinking, this is just a step too far, there's another bike you may not have heard of. The successor to the Kijiva Grand Canyon. Can anyone guess what it is? Again, I had never heard of this. The Kijiva Navigator. This came out in the year 2000, but instead of being powered by a Ducati 900 engine, Kijiva decided to power it with a 1000cc Suzuki engine from the TL1000S. Visor down, give this pros and cons list to the Kijiva Navigator. Pros: styling, motor, handling, far more capable in the twisties than a bike of this size has any right to be. This is an Italian bike speciality, experts in handling. Then you get to the cons. Finish is below par. Paintwork is easily damaged and reliability is an issue. So somehow Kijiva managed to use a Japanese engine, yet still make their bikes unreliable. That is a special feat in itself. I wanted to do some digging here because these are such rare bikes, it's genuinely difficult to find anything about these. So I typed in Kijiva Navigator, the more reliable of the two bikes, and I went on to a forum where people discuss, look, should I buy a Kijiva Navigator? And bear in mind, it was really hard finding anything about this, but I wanted to give you a little insight about what people talk about on the forums and their thoughts on a bike like a Navigator. Take a listen to this. It starts off, these are pretty cheap bikes because of the bad reputation of Kijiva and could be a very good deal at the moment. The reply to that, bad reputation of Kijiva? ? I've owned several of the old Kijiva Elephants, the best, block capital, best, big trailer to ride, no doubt at all. Alternatively, if you have to rip out some of the Ducati electrics and live with the Ducati maintenance schedule, but that's a small price to pay for the handling and power delivery. So, translating this here, even the most enthusiastic Kijiva owner has to accept the fact that, at best, some of the components and electronics are so substandard they'll need to be replaced. And just one more to wrap it up. In Switzerland, at least, they are very difficult to sell because everybody thinks it's crap and you can't get the parts for the Navigator. Have I sold you on buying one of these yet? If I have, bear with me. I have one of each model. Let's start off with a Kijiva Grand Canyon. It's so hard to find one of these. I only managed to find one in the UK for sale, and this is on Gumtree. I don't often check on Gumtree, but this is an advert. It's been around for a while. They actually advertise saying the MOT, the annual check, is due on the 23rd of June 2025. That means this must have been advertised at least a month before that. And that means this has been advertised for, my guess is something like 2 months at least. Ducati 900 engine, 5 previous owners, very clean and tidy. And in block capitals here, this is a real selling point, folder/Bible of maintenance. No expense spared, seriously looked after bike. Now, if you are after a left field bike, this is probably very close to the type that you should be looking at. And finally, to wrap this little section up, Kijiva Navigator. Equally difficult to find these as well. These must have sold in microscopically small numbers. Kijiva Navigator, Facebook Marketplace, £1,695, 41,000 miles on the clock, listed 22 days ago. They put loads of really ugly orange parts on this bike, so this is not the best looking Kijiva. It's also not especially cheap either. £1,700. So there you go. Don't know if I've sold that for you. All I can say is if you want something niche, go and have a look at that. Definitely a rarity. And they've got something about them, especially with that Ducati engine, I think. Now we move on. the sub 4000 brand new Honda. I really wanted to tell you, Freddie, about the Honda GB350S. I got mine in June 2025 after a 3-month wait. I've heard these are so popular, the waiting times are pretty big. It's my first bike after an 8-year break. In the meantime, I'd occasionally hop on my dad's BMW R850R. And while I can definitely appreciate the power of bigger engines, I made a conscious decision to go for something with a bit less punch. The Honda is a 350cc single-cylinder thumper. Sounds lovely. Loads of character. And by the way, it is a real bargain. Now, my 8-year-old daughter has started showing interest in bikes too. And not long ago, we went for our first little ride together. It was brilliant. Instantly took me back to my first trips with my dad. And now I get what he must have felt. Sure, we're not breaking any speed records on the GB350S, but riding it is still a great experience. And in the end, it's not about the power, how fast you go. It's about what you feel like when you're riding and the memories you make. It's about the passion. And I'm honestly over the moon to be able to share this passion with my daughter and create the same kind of memories I had with my dad. And that's Soren from Germany. These are really good sellers, and they're just taking the fight directly to Royal Enfield. It's so good that this segment of biking now, the 350, 300cc to 450, 500, there are so many brilliant options and the price points. It's like old school bike pricing, exactly what it used to be, where you can get a motorbike that can do it all for a fraction of the cost of the car. Because we went to a moment a few years ago where motorbike prices were almost on par with car prices. But now they're bringing in these smaller engine bikes. Biking is again an attainable, affordable mode of transport. This is under £4,000, 350cc, 178 kilos, and 21 horsepower in a very handsome package. It's extremely appealing, and you get the Honda reliability and quality. If you do want something bigger than that, this takes me on beautifully to Roger. How about Honda's much bigger brother? Or I should say, how about the Honda GB350's much bigger brother? Freddie, Honda CB1100 all the way, especially, this is important, especially the EX version from around 2016. This is by far and away the best looking retro inspired bike out there, with superb finish and a silky smooth, wonderfully engineered motor. You say it weighs a ton? Nonsense. It's only about 10 kilos more weight than the Cape that you were raving about, despite having two more cylinders. It carries its weight very low, far lower than the Moto Marini, I'll warrant, and you don't feel it while you're on the move. Seat height's low too. I'm 5'6", 11.5 stone, and I have no problem with it at all. And it gets admiring looks and comments all the time. Totally unstressed engine, will go to the moon and back, and very good and manageable as a pillion bike. Probably in the retro scene, the three bikes that people only ever have good words to say about: Kawasaki W650 and W800. I have never heard an owner say anything bad about those bikes, other than maybe the W650 is slightly underpowered, but they have a fantastic reputation, as does the CB1100. These were, I think, especially in Europe, certainly in the UK, awful, awful sellers. Really, they have everything you need where you'd think, if Honda bring back a retro-styled bike, it would sell so well. Well, they did it, and no one ended up buying it. Three reasons for this, I think. Number one, if you're looking at retro, a lot of the time, simply the European bikes are the places where people go, whether you're looking at BMW, Ducati, or probably predominantly the old British brands, the likes of Royal Enfield and Triumph. They're the most appealing bikes within the retro category. So immediately you're looking at something a little bit more niche, with the likes of a Kawasaki or a Honda in this case. Secondly, it may feel light when you're riding it, but 255 kilos is still a heavy bike. And I know from seeing many people's comments, this has been a reason why people have held off on the big CB1100. That is a lot of weight to lug around. And finally, one of the big reasons why this was never a big seller, on top of those two points, Back in September 2017, this was a good chunk more expensive as a brand new bike than the Triumph Bonneville T120, the big 1200cc Bonneville, and also even more expensive than the BMW R90 Pure. So you have to really want, or you had to really want one of these Hondas to go out and buy it, because you're going to spend more money on it. And it doesn't have that European name that a lot of the time people want. But this, as a used proposition, it shows the strength of Honda because they hold their value incredibly well. Let's take a look specifically at the EX variant. This is important here to differentiate. So Honda CB1100 EX 2017 to 2021, 1100cc air-cooled, 88 horsepower. Something phenomenal here. The owner's reliability rating on MCN for the Honda CB1100 is 5 out of 5. That's incredibly rare. We're not looking at 4.7 out of 5 and rounding it up to 5 out of 5. No, it's 5 out of 5. Basically meaning on MCN, not one person has ever marked it down even 0.1 of a score for reliability. That in itself is incredible. The difference between the standard 1100 and the 1100 EX is simply a little bit of extra luxury. So the EX has wire wheels. That's the immediate way you can tell from a visual point of view. If you're going online and you're not 100% sure which one it is, just look for the wire wheels if they're not stating if it's an EX. On top of that, the EX got ABS and 6-speed transmission, and it may have had a few extra shiny bits and pieces, but they're the big things. If you do want one of these bikes that debuted 8 or 9 years ago now, you're still going to have to pay a hefty chunk of money. I found this nice one here, Auto Trader. This is just about the cheapest that you can get for one of these EXs. It's a 2020 model, so 5 years old, and it's £5,400. These are really, really solid purchase because they're going to hold their value so well. Beautifully finished in red there with the spoked wheels. And it's got 20,000 miles on the clock with that 88 horsepower engine. There you go. If you've got, or if you want one of the finest finished retro bikes you can possibly get. I've seen a couple of these in the flesh. They are sublime. And I don't think anyone could make an argument to say there's a better looking retro than this. 5.5K. Moving on. Getting into biking, what do you go for? From Max. Freddie, I'm 28 years old, looking to get my first bike. I really like the classic look that you can get in bikes nowadays. I think this is what's attracting me to wanting to ride now more than ever. The goal is to eventually get a big bike, but I'll still be starting out on a 125cc once I've done my CBT. So I've got two questions for you. Number one, what do you think about the Herald Motor Company Maverick 125 as a first bike? And do you have any advice on moving through the ranks of the motorbike licenses? I don't want to be afraid, for example, to get above the 125cc license fairly quickly. Thank you, Max. Max, let's start off here. Welcome to biking. This is a really interesting discussion because the 350cc market now for A2 licenses is booming. You can take your pick with brilliantly built retro motorcycles like what you're looking at. But it gets much harder when you're looking at the 125cc category. So if we take a look at Herald motorcycles, first of all, Max, you've got a great eye for a good looking bike. These are lovely looking things. None of the big brands do a retro looking 125 anywhere near as good looking as this. So if you want something this good looking, there is nothing from the big brands that offers anything like these cool looks. Herald is a brand. They are Chinese-built motorcycles. I believe it's a British brand, but they make everything in China. I've looked online. They do have a slightly up and down reliability reputation. And what may be slightly worrying here is on the website, every single model of Herald motorbike is heavily reduced. Take a look at this, Max, the one you're looking at. The Maverick 125, that's £3,495 full price, but it's currently reduced to £295. I don't know if I'm overthinking things here, but that is an almost worrying reduction, especially considering the entire range is heavily reduced. But then it does come with a 2-year warranty, so should there really be anything to worry about? If we're looking at these as a used proposition, I've typed in Maverick 125. See, take a look at this. There's a 125cc Maverick, 2024. That's just 1 year old, and it's now £1,400. They do not hold their value well. So, Max, if you go and buy one of these, you just have to be aware that the reliability reputation is slightly all over the place, just from what I've seen online, and the resale value is not strong on these. But if you buy a used one, you do negate that residual decrease to a large extent, but then you don't get all of the warranty. So you have to weigh up in your head if that's something you're willing to consider. However, I will definitely say this, these Herald motorbikes are by far the best looking 125s around. Nothing from the big brands even comes close to matching this. But if you do want something from one of the big brands, you can check out the Yamaha XSR 125. Look at this. So this is a 2021 model, £2,900. This is a 4-year-old bike, and it's £2,500 more than a 1-year-old Herald. The Herald for me is a better looking bike, but you're going to get rock solid residuals and reliability with this Yamaha, but it's a lot more money than that. If it were my money, Max, I would be quite tempted by that £1,400 Herald, and you'll have to assume that it may only be worth under £1,000 once you come to sell it. If you do want something slightly different, that Japanese reliability with the retro looks, you could check out, see if I've saved it here, Facebook Marketplace. Here we go. I've got something that may be a happy medium here. 2016 Yamaha YBR for £1,700. This is a custom 125. Beautifully well kept, new MOT, oil change every 200 miles. So this has been deeply loved, this bike. Only looking to sell because replacing for a 650cc. Category N write-off at some point in its life, but that really doesn't matter too much with a bike like this. It looks in fantastic condition, and you're going to get rock-solid reliability, and importantly, Max, you're going to get rock-solid residuals as well. All you have to do with this bike is keep it exactly as it is, and it will easily sell on. It won't cause you any heartache or headache in the future. I think that would be my choice. Let me know what you go for, Max. Good luck. Wrapping it up here, bike of the week. This just popped up for me, and I thought, how can I not have this as bike of the week? It's a bike that a lot of you say is possibly the ultimate bike, full stop. A bike that can pretty much do it all apart from off-roading. The Kawasaki Ninja 1000 SX. Extra interesting right now, this bike, because the Kawasaki Ninja has now been upgraded to the 1100 SX for 2025. So there's a transition period right now where Kawasaki is selling both the 1000 SX and the 1100 SX. So let's take a look. Kawasaki Ninja 1000 SX 2020 to 2025, 140 horsepower, 235 kilos. That's all quite impressive. A decently low weight for a bike that comes ready as a sports tourer with a really good amount of horsepower. And it was voted the Sports Tourer of the Year 2023. Just 2 years ago, this was the best sports tourer in the world. More than that, I know I often say sports tourers are dead. Well, if they are dead, still this means something. This is Europe's best-selling sports tourer over the past 3 years. This is the one to have. If you want a brand new 1000 SX, that's 12,149. But if you want to go back all the way to the start, the year it entered the market, 2020, this is such a good deal for so much bike. You can get 2020 model for £5,700. 26,000 miles on the clock, looks to be in stunning condition with the panniers ready to go. You get all of the modern reliability, that incredible, pretty much super naked level of performance, but continent-crushing ability for $5,000. That is a seriously good deal. And I'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching. Really hope you enjoyed the video. I'll see you in the next one.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits started just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.